the 144th Psalm for a little bit this morning. We do appreciate you. Psalms 144, the Bible says in Psalms 144, verse 1, it said, "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passes away. Bow down thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above and rid me and deliver me out of the great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity and the right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee. I will, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and the right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, and that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." I want to preach just a little bit this morning, Brother Charles, if God will be my help on this thought, a father's desire. A father's desire. And I'm going to say Happy Father's Day to each one of you again. We appreciate you. A father is an important part. You say, "Preacher, how do you know?" Because we've got a whole world that's running around, and people are going out and fathering and not being daddies. Amen. They're not taking care of their children, their homes, and not being taking responsibility. And we see where that's got us now. But praise God, I'm glad that we got folks here in this church, praise God, that's good fathers, good daddies, praise God, that come along and nurture and admonition the Lord and bring their children up. And boy, what a blessing that is. But we see David here in this 144th Psalm, and we see a desire on the daddy's heart. Now I want to say first of all that David knows who God is. Amen. David knows who God is. We see he says, "Blessed is the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." What a blessing is. I got to thinking about this, Brother Jeff. I thought about how God would even, how David even praises God, Brother Jeff, for the dexterity that he has in his fingers, praise God, to be able to do battle. You know, I thank God for the dexterity he gives us in our hands, praise God, to do battle. You say, "Preacher, what are we doing?" We're fighting the devil every day. Amen. We need the dexterity from the Lord. We need the flexibility in the Lord, praise God, to fight the devil at every turn. Oh, he's out there, he's rampant, he's running around, he's trying to deceive and tear down. But praise God, I'm glad there's a God of heaven. He'll empower you and he'll empower me, and he'll give us strength to overcome the wiles of the devil. Oh, he's a wily rascal. He wants to intervene. He wants to mess up our lives and our homes and our houses and our communities and our churches and our country and our nation. The devil wants to tear it all down. But I'm glad there's got a God. We've got a God, the same God that David had, praise God, who is our strength this morning. Bless his own name. I'm glad for that, ain't you? David says, "I realize that there's an almighty God. He's a strength, praise God. He's someone that we can call upon, that we can trust in." He said, "Why did he need that?" He said, "Because of his own frailty." Amen. He said, "He's my goodness. He's my fortress. He's my high tower. He's my deliverer. He's my shield." Praise God. "He's the one in whom I trust, who said, subdueth my people under me." He said, "Praise God, I'd never be a king if it wasn't for the King of Glory." He said, "I'd never have authority. I'd never have no power outside of God." But when we realize this morning that we ain't got a bit of power outside of God, that the only power we have is the power that we have in Him. But I want to say, praise God, when you're empowered by Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost of God, He said, "You have all power in heaven and earth." And God said, "I'll give you my power." Praise God. Don't you let the world think and tell you that you're weak. Don't let you let the world tell you that you can't. I will say, praise God, young as we can, we can be strong and we can take a stand. We can live right, walk right, talk right, act right, praise God, before an unholy world. Praise God for the glory of God. And God promised He'd help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we see that. And now we see also, He talks about here in verses 3 and 4 about the frailty of man, how frail we are, the weakness that we have. You know what happens? I appreciate when Miles was singing that, he said he's not worthy. When we realize that we aren't, but he is. When we realize that we don't have no power and we don't have no strength, but we serve a God that has it all. We realize, praise God, in our frailty, in our weakness, and our iniquity, praise God, our sinfulness. Praise God, I'm glad there's a God of heaven who's already overcome it all. He was victorious walking this world. He lived and walked and lived and died, praise God, and rose again victorious over death and the grave. And because He did that, we have a hope this morning in Him that's out of this world. I say it's out of this world this morning. Praise God. Amen. We don't have to bow down. We don't have to bow down to the people. Praise God. We can just realize God Almighty in our frailty, in our weakness. Praise God. He's promised that He would always be strong. God's never showed any weakness. God has never been weak. Amen. He's always strong. Praise God. And He's a strong advocate for His church. He said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Praise God. He said, hey, listen. Said, you take your squirt gun, just charge on. Praise God. Amen. Hey, you say, preacher, I would, but I'm afraid I'll run out of water. Praise God. I won't say there's a water alive. That'll fill that gun up. Praise God. You just keep a charging and a charging and a charging. Just keep pressing on toward God Almighty. I guarantee you, He'll keep your pistol full. Amen. Amen. He'll give you one of them big super squirters. Well, I tell you what, if I'd had one of them back when I was a kid, I'd terrorize the neighborhood. Amen. All we had was them little old things wouldn't hold half a pint. Hey, got them things now hold half a gallon or better. Praise God. Boy, you shoot them things plumb across across a room, across a parking lot. Praise God. If I had one of them, amen, praise God. I want to say in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, praise God, we've got a super squirter, super shooter, praise God, that you can charge the gates of hell, amen, prepared in the preparedness of the Lord without any fear, praise God, and just press on and charge the gates. Amen. You say, preacher, you're talking foolishness. I'm going to tell you, listen to me, church. We're living in the day and hour that we're going to have to charge the gates of hell. Because they want to prevail against us. Praise God. But I want to say there's a God this morning who's already overcome the devil and the demons of hell. And we just need to stay on His side and just keep a listening. I say just keep a listening for marching orders to press on for His glory. Praise God. We're getting, hey, every step we're getting closer to home, closer to Him. Praise the Lord. He said, come on, little children. Come unto me, praise God, and I'll take you home. Amen. Amen. Praise God. David realized he was God. David realized his own fragile state. Amen. But he begins to plead for deliverance. Amen. He said, begins to ask God for deliverance. Praise the Lord. Begins to ask, praise God, for deliverance. He said, bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains that they shall smoke. Now we think, you remember when over at Sinai, when Moses looked up there and he saw the fire on the mountain, praise God. And he seen a bush, but it was consumed not. It was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. He said, there's a fire, praise God. And what David's saying, he said, Lord, send the fire again. Praise God, let's see the smoke. Praise God, that we know you're real. We know you are, praise God. We know you're able, glory to glory, hallelujah. But he pleads for the deliverance. Now the Bible tells us here in verse 8 that there's some false promises being given. I want to say in the world that we live in today, there's a whole lot of false promises being given. Amen. People's making politicians kill me. They get up there and they make all these promises. The sun and the moon, they give it to you, and they don't own either one. Amen. But praise God, I won't say there's a God of heaven that offers promises. David said, hey, listen, deliver us, praise God. He pleads for deliverance of his people. He pleads for deliverance for his heart. He pleads for deliverance from his God. Amen. He said, verse 7 says, send thine hand from above and rid me and deliver me out of the great waters from the hand of strange children. David said, listen, I need some help, Lord. He said, I need some deliverance. Amen. You know what's wrong with us today? I pray God, we ain't prayed and we ain't seeking and focusing on God and asking Him for deliverance. Amen. We need some deliverance from this world we live in, from the flesh and from the iniquity and from the sinfulness. Amen. It's all around us today. We need deliverance. And if we pray and ask God, pray God, deliverance will come. God's promised He would. We just need to keep asking and don't quit. Praise God. And then we can sing praises to the Lord and give Him glory for what He's already done. Now, we can do that anyway. David, the Bible says here in verse 9, it's amazing, right in the middle of this thing, David just breaks out in song. He says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O Lord, O God, upon a psalter and upon and an instrument of 10 strings. Well, I sing praises unto thee. The Lord says, hey, great. You know what he says? He said, I'm just going to go ahead and give you praise and glory anyway. He said, I'm just going to go ahead and start praying you for what you're going to do down the road. And I'm just going to praise you, praise God, because you're God. I'm going to praise you because you're a deliverer. I'm going to praise you because you're greater than I am, because in my frailty, praise God, that you're strong. Amen. Praise God. He's an almighty God. And He comes. Praise the Lord. And we see, but we see here in verse 10, we see a kind of a change of direction. A new direction, if you will. And we see a father's desire start to come out here for his people. Amen. Now, David, if you think of him, he was like a father to the whole nation of Israel. But how was that? He was a king of kings, praise God. He loved God, and he loved his people. See, David was a perfect example of what we should be in this world. A man of God, a man after God's own heart. You say, what is that? That's a man that loves people. He loved his people. And we see David as he begins to change us, and he prays and he asks God, amen. He asks God not only for salvation, but he prays and he asks God, and he prays for, I believe, for his children. Amen. I believe it's a natural thing for a person, to pray for his children. Amen. It's perfectly normal to pray for our children. Now the world today, they say, I don't know why you're doing that. Praise God, because it's necessary. We need to be praying for our people. We need to be praying for our children. But notice what David prayed. He prays that they'll not be found at vain children. That the children won't be caught up in vanity. Praise the Lord. He said that a stranger whose mouth speaketh vanity. What he's talking about here, he prays that my children won't be caught up in vanity, that they won't be speaking in useless and destructive tones, that they'll be encouragers, praise God. And listen, how do you know that your children's going to be encouragers? Because you're an encouraging person, because you're lifting them up, because you're lifting up the Lord, because you're setting before them a perfect example of who God is today. Amen. That was the father's desire. Amen. You know what? We get so caught up. I said we get so caught up in this world, we forget what's important, don't we, fellas? We forget that there's a God of heaven who loves us. And God of heaven wants us to be an example. God in heaven wants us to be encouragers. God in heaven wants us to come alongside and point the direction. God wants us to stay on the course. Amen. He said, well, preacher, I want to give my kids the best. Amen. Give them God. Amen. Give them the Lord. That's the best part. All the rest of it, he said, just vanity. It's destructive. It'll tear up. It's useless. He said, well, preacher, there's so much stuff that we need now. There's so much stuff that you'd like to have now. Praise God, there's a God of heaven. He supplies all of our need if we'll trust Him. He'll lift us up, praise God. He'll take us a little farther along every day. I look back through the congregation. I don't see anybody that looks like Ethiopian from starvation. You may have a swelled belly, but it ain't from going without. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's from God being merciful to us, from giving us, praise God, every day more than we need. Amen. He said, hey, listen, he said, I don't want to see them get caught up in vanity. I don't want to see them get caught up in useless and destructive conversation. Amen. That'll tear up and tear down. He said, I want to see them get caught up in lifting up and encouraging. But he said, not only are they vain children, but he said, they're loud. He said, they speaketh. Amen. They can hear them. Now that word has an intensity that it's with a loud voice. We're looking around today and we see a whole lot of folks that's speaking with a loud voice, and it ain't the voice of God. Amen. If we're going to speak with a loud voice, praise God, it ought to be standing on the rooftops and shouting, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Praise be to God. You want to get things squared away. You want to get things going back in the right direction. Just start telling everybody you see. Say, glory to God. I don't know about all that, but Jesus saves. Amen. I've been watching some of these things going on in this world, and boy, some of it's very discouraging. But I'm starting to see some men and women, mamas and daddies, praise God, standing up and saying, you know what? We need God again. I mean, we need a presence of God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a presence of the Holy Ghost. We need to go back to praying. Amen. It's like folks, God's a shaking people. I'm talking about a father's desire, seeing our folks young and everybody, praise God, not caught up in vain conversation, not be caught up in loud speaking, praise God, but be concerned, praise God, with the things of God. Amen. He said, hey, that they wouldn't be vain children or loud children, but also that they wouldn't be insincere children. Amen. That they wouldn't be insincere. He said, a right hand of foolishness. Amen. A falsehood. He said, help us, God. Whatever we do it sincerely. Now, you can do things. I'm talking about the things of God. You can do things sincerely and be sincerely wrong. Amen. There's a whole lot of people, I believe, are sincere in what they do, but they're sincerely wrong. Amen. But he said, what I want them to do, I want them to be not insincere, but sincere in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I want them to put their focus. I want them to know that he's the most important thing there is. He is life, praise God. He's liberty. He's that focus, praise God, that we need to have for his glory. Amen. He's the one that'll prosper. He'll be the one that bring us through. He said, they don't need to have no foolishness, falsehoods, praise God. He said, what they need is the truth. He says, because we don't want no lying children. Amen. You know, you don't have to teach you. I've told you stuff many times. You don't have to teach your children to lie. It comes natural. Amen. You know, you catch that kid, a little old young'un with his hands been in a cookie jar, and he's got chocolate cookie all over his face and one in each hand, and he wasn't supposed to be there. And you say, son, the daughter said, what are you doing? Well, what? Nothing. Where'd you get those cookies? Oh, no. Have you been in a cookie jar? No. Amen. You don't have to teach them to lie. They do it naturally. We have to teach them the truth, praise God. And I want to tell you, the only truth they need to know today that'll make them free is Jesus Christ saves. Jesus Christ died for your sin. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ is your Lord, and He wants to be your Savior. We need to tell it and steal it from a young age. They'll come up in the nurturing admonition of the Lord. They'll love the Lord, and they'll depart from falsehoods. See, if we ain't very careful, if we don't teach our kids not to lie, amen, they'll believe a lie. If we don't teach our kids not to deceive, they'll become deceivers. Amen. The things that's planted in them, they'll just pice it out like candy. Amen. Praise God. Well, everybody else is doing it. Yeah, but you ain't supposed to. Amen. He said, help them restrain from falsehoods. Help them restrain from lying. Don't let them be lying children. Amen. Help them to know the truth. The truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That they might depart from sin. So we see David as he's lifting them up. The things he said first, that they shouldn't be, but then he says the things I'd like for them to be. Amen. David said he wanted godly children. Amen. He wanted godly children. He said that his sons may be like plants. Amen. That his son, verse 12 said his sons might be that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. He said, don't wait till they're grown; it'll be too late. He said, plant them in good stuff in the beginning. Amen. You know what's wrong with the world today? We've got two generations coming, not just one, but two now coming along behind us that's never planted our children, never will plant our children in the goodness of God. And then we wonder why the world's in such turmoil and chaos. Because it's full of the devil. It's full of ungodliness. And we need a godliness, praise God. He said we need to plant our children. It's so that they can be, number one, so they can be rooted. Amen. What are we rooting them in? If we ain't rooting them in the things of God, getting them good, solid, deep roots, praise the Lord, in the things of God, they may be uprooted pretty easy. Amen. Like that seed that's cast out on a stony ground that has no depth of earth, praise God. We need to make sure we plant them where there's good dirt, where there's good ground, praise, so that they can be rooted in the Word of God, so they can spring up, and not only spring up, but sink roots deep and grow. Amen. David said, I'll need them like children that's planted. Now, once you plant them, you got to cultivate them. Amen. You got to cultivate them. You got to keep the soil where it's receptive to the things that's good, that'll bring the nutrients that they need. Amen. So you have to cultivate. That's what we have to do with our children. We have to cultivate them. Paul said, if we bring them up in the way they should go when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Now, a whole lot of our children are gone and they've wandered off. But praise God, that seed that's planted in them still, we still get phone calls every now and then, and you can see that seed that was planted in them, praise God, that it's producing. Now, I'm like old Dan Stevenson, praise God. He said, I'd always ask him how he's doing. He said, I said about 2 taters to the hill. And I said, I didn't really realize what he's talking about right before I'd had to do his funeral. And he said what he was saying, he said, I'm productive, but not as productive as I'd like to be. Amen. I'm afraid that's the whole lot of us today, praise God. We're productive, but we're not as productive as we'd like to be. Amen. And if we ain't careful, we're coming along bringing up children that's the same way. Amen. They may be a little bit productive, but they're not as productive as they need to be for God's glory. And we're seeing the trickle-down effect today. We're seeing churches that's emptying out. People's fleeing and going chasing after other things. You know why? Because we haven't showed them that the most important thing, the most precious thing, is the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Amen. He's the one that makes a difference for you and I. So we need to be rooted. They need to be cultivated so that they can be growing. Amen. Got to be growing. We got to be growing our children. Got to be. You say, preacher, where am I going to get my children to grow in the Lord? By growing ourselves. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I'm 60 years old or better now. I about growed all I can, praise God. I want to say to you, listen, as long as we're in this world, praise God, as long as you have your mind, Lord God, you can continue to grow in the Lord. And as long as we're growing, Lord, praise God, spread that knowledge out. Tell somebody about Jesus so they can grow along with us. So when they get rooted and they get cultivated, praise God, they can grow. Why do you think, I was thinking in the study yesterday morning, why do you think we have so many people that come through our churches? I'm not talking about just all the churches. They come through churches, they hit a lick here and a lick there, and they go out in the world, and they never make a difference. Now I'm talking about spiritually. They never become soul winners. Amen? You say, why? Because they're not rooted, they're not cultivated, and they're not growing themselves. They kind of get stagnant and they don't produce. Amen? We need something that'll produce. Amen? And the world comes along, if we ain't careful, it takes away that productivity. I'll just give you an example. I planted a garden, started out some cucumbers and squash in pots. Amen. Got them growing, both pretty little plants. And then I took them out and I told Teresa, I said, the groundhogs, the deer and all that stuff, they're going to eat. I said, let's put them in some big planters and put them out there in front of my study so I can keep an eye on them and we can get to them. We can pick them when they get ready. And amen, praise the Lord. So we done that. Well, I went out the other day and groundhogs eat every leaf off the cucumbers, every leaf off my squash. I mean, great, big, beautiful plants, little old squash and cucumbers starting on them real nice, and he's come and he's ate every bit of the leaves off them, every bit of the vegetation's gone. You say, well, preacher, as long as them things are still on there, they'll continue to produce. No, without them leaves being on there, their ability to produce is taken away. There's no photosynthesis, praise God, to bring in the sun, amen, that'll nourish the fruit. You know what's wrong with the world today? Listen, our leaves has been plucked off. There's no photosynthesis. The sun ain't coming in, so there's not being any fruit. Amen. You know what happens to that fruit? it just swivels up and dies. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we see it. But what do you got to do? You got to get rid of the groundhogs. Amen. Now they're a type of the devil. Now I was looking all over the internet to see how to get rid of groundhogs. That says you can put down ammonia and they don't like ammonia. Said you can build a fence, but they'll dig under it. Amen. Or they'll climb over it. Now a lot of people don't believe groundhogs can climb, but they climb. They got a climbing gear. Amen. He said all these different things. But one fellow said, well, what you can do, I think it was about number 12 on the list. He said, you can shoot them and eat them. I said, glory, hallelujah. There's my cure. So we got a line of, hey, I tried to trap them. Amen. Pray God. But I want to say the devil's pretty wild. It's hard to catch him in a trap. Amen. They're pretty observant. Amen. I said, Papa, I'll catch them and put them in a trap. I'll catch them in a trap and I'll dispatch them. She told Granny, she said, Granny, said, why don't Papa just say he's going to kill them? Amen. But they're like the devil, praise God. They infiltrate and they pluck off leaves and there's no photosynthesis, so the sun don't come in and they don't grow. That's what's happening in the church today. There's no sun. There's no light coming from you and me, praise God. And they're not growing, praise God. And if they're not growing, amen, they're not producing. So there's a fruitlessness. Amen. They're not producing fruit. Now we live in a world today that we got a false sense of fruitfulness, what it is. And there's false things all over the world. See, that's what David was talking about. He said, there's a lot of false stuff here we need to get past. A lot of falsehoods, a lot of lies. Several years ago, I think it's before me and Teresa got married, or right about the time, her daddy wanted a pear tree. I said, okay, we'll get him a pear tree. If that's what he wants, we'll get it. So we went out to Lowe's, we hunted around, we found the prettiest little pear tree you ever did see. We loaded that thing up in the truck and we hauled it over there. Boy, we was just as happy, smiling. We was proud of ourselves. We'd got the prettiest little old pear tree that you ever did see. And come, I think it's his birthday or Father's Day, one or the other. We presented that to him. Boy, big old smiles on her face. And he says, what am I going to do with that? I said, well, you wanted a pear tree. We got you a pear tree. Ain't it pretty? He said, oh, yeah, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful pear tree. But he said, that's a Bradford pear tree. What are you laughing about? It was a pear tree. But it was a lie. Why in the world would they call a tree a pear tree that doesn't produce pears? Oh, it's beautiful. They grow up marvelous. They look pretty. But they don't produce no fruit. I'm afraid what's happening today. Listen, a father's desire should be for our children to produce fruit for the Lord. Contrary to anything else they do in this life, praise God, fruitfulness for the Lord is important. That Bradford prayer tree. Amen. Go back there. That thing, they grow fast, they're pretty, they make a magnificent looking tree, but they're very frail and fragile. Amen? They're very frail and fragile. The least little wind or a snow just breaks them all to pieces. You know why? Because they're a lie. Amen. They're of the devil. Stay away from them. They're a lie. They're a falsehood. They may look pretty. They may like to sit in your yard, but all they're doing is taking up space because they're a lie. There's no fruit you'll ever get off of them. Amen. I didn't believe it. I watched that thing for a while, and it never. I've watched them ever since then. I've never seen a Bradford pear tree that produced fruit. If you get one and you're expecting fruit, you better take it back and get the real thing. Amen. Because that won't help you none. But he said he'd like for his son to be fruitful. Not like an old Bradford pear tree. Not look pretty, but be pretty on the inside, producing fruit for the Lord. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. And not only for our sons, but for our daughters. He said, like our daughters look good too. Some of you fellas got daughters. Amen. Some of you have daughters. He said, that your daughters may be like cornerstones. Amen. They'd be like cornerstones. And he said, that'd be that part that's set out, that part that's established, that part that'll stay, that part, praise God, that you can build upon. I'll say, listen, daddies, it takes a whole lot of a woman, praise God, to be a mother today. It takes a whole lot of a woman, praise God, to lead a family, praise God. It takes a whole lot of a woman to be the keeper at home, like Bible says to be. Now you say, well, preacher, that just means she needs to stay home barefoot and pregnant. No, I'm not saying that at all. That's not biblical, praise God. You go look at the virtuous woman, praise God. She got up before daylight, and she worked away after dark, praise God. And she went out of the city. She done whatever she had. You know what she did? She was trying to make her family comfortable. She was trying to make her husband look good, praise God. She was trying to give glory to God. Amen. But he said he wanted these ladies, praise God, to be polished like a cornerstone. Amen. To be that, praise God, could be looked upon and respected. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, we need to get back to where we can grow up daughters that's looked upon and respected. Daughters, praise God, that are magnificent, those that's got energy and got style and got grace. Don't just fit in with the crowd. I mean, I seen a girl the other day come in, and I thought, my goodness, she was in a fishing accident. She must have been in a boat, and it turned over and flipped three or four times, and the tackle box opened up, and every one of them hooks stuck in her. She had fish hooks hanging all over her, in her nose, in her ears, in her eyebrows. I don't see how they stand it. Somebody need to get her to a medic quick. Amen. But he said, hey, listen, they ought to be polished, they ought to be clean, they ought to be pure. They ought to be something of beauty in the eyes of God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, I don't think a lady needs all that junk, praise God, to look good. Amen. It's just a blessing of God, praise God. God said, hey, listen, they ought to be beautiful, they ought to be polished, they ought to be beautiful like a palace. Amen. A thing where you can look out from the road and say, praise God, look at that. That's a wonderful place. It's a marvelous place. Somebody cares about that place. Amen. Praise God. That's the way it ought to be. He said they ought to be steady. They ought to be standing. They ought to be like those columns, praise God, outside. Amen. They ought to be standing sure and solid and pure. Amen. He said, how they do by growing with the Lord. He said, this is a father's desire. He'd see these things in it. Praise God. He said they'd be solid when they had those columns of before. He said they'd be solid, that they'd have character. We're living day and hour. There's not much character left in the world. Amen. The Bible says the whole world says that we ought to be known by our character, who we are. That inward person. Amen. That's who we ought to look at, who we are. Not what we look like, but who we are on the inside. And he said our daughters ought to be solid like those columns. And they get their foundation, their solidness from the Lord. Amen. So we see David and his father's desires to his sons and his daughters, to his family, praise God, for a heritage in the Lord, to leave something behind. So when we look back one day, praise God, we say, well, Daddy loved the Lord. But what do you think about your papa? My papa loved the Lord. I can say with all my heart that both my papas, both my grandmas loved the Lord with all their heart. Amen. Now my grandma Young, she was a different character. She was grown up in a different era. Amen. But praise God, she died, she said, they never put no man on the moon. I said, Granny, they got pictures. She said, they're made up. She said, God wouldn't allow that. Amen. He said, God put us on earth, and that's where He intended for us to stay. Till the day she died. She had her ideas. You know what? They about proved that now. Because when they jumped out of that space capsule and their feet hit the ground, dust coming up. And there's no gravity. And he had that flag up there, and that flag and no gravity. There's no airflow. And that American flag was going in the breeze. Amen. So, was she right? I don't know, but it don't look right to me when they tell me what I know about science. But I'm going to say what God knows, praise God, is what's true. He said, but when we see God Almighty, we see the implications of this. And we see God's children, that God gives promises to His children. Amen. To good children, good promises. Look what He says in verse 13. He said, for their garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That their garners, He said, praise God, God wants to bless us. God wants to give us children. God wants to give us homes and relationships. And He wants our garners to be full. He wants us to be blessed. Amen. He wants us to be blessed, praise God. Amen. With all manner of store. He said, that our sheep may bring forth 1,000, 10,000 in our streets. Praise the Lord. He said, that's like money. Amen. He said, God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to give us plenty. God wants to bless us beyond measure. He said, but we got to finish. He said, a father's desire is for our children to be right with God and for God to be blessing them all the days of their life. Amen. He said, well, preacher, what do you mean? If we're not being blessed of God, then God don't love us. We're not. No, I ain't not saying that. Amen. God never promised us nothing but praise God. He promised that He would not see the righteous forsaken nor see the begging bread. And a father's desire is for his children, praise God, to attain to the promises of God. That their garners be full. That their herds will be, that there'll be many. That they'll be prosperous. He said, well, preacher, what's the end result of that? The end result is this, and I'm done. That a people will be happy. Amen. We're living all in a world, praise God, everybody in the world is trying to be happy. Happy, happy, happy. It's all talk about being happy. Happy depends on what happens. I've told you that before. Depends on what, and happiness can change from moment to moment, day to day. But God wants you. Now this word happy in here in verse 15 is as happy as that people that is in such a case. Yeah, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Now that word happy means it's talking about external, and it's also talking about internal. And it's speaking of being blessed. Amen. It's not just a, you know, smiling, happy type of thing. But it's about being and seeing the blessings of God. Amen. It's about being blessed of God. Externally, internally, being overflowed with the presence of the Lord. He said, that's what a father's desire is above everything else. The David said, listen, said I want my enemies. He said, my enemies, he said, I want you, Lord, to help me take care of them. I thank you for the power that you give me. I thank you for the faith to believe. And I ask you, God, that you'd help me and help my children. Now, in David's case, he wasn't talking just about those that lived in his household. He was talking about his whole kingdom. Amen. In David's eye, he was the whole kingdom was his children. That's what made him the man that he was. He didn't just look at two or three and me. He looked at the whole kingdom and he said, Lord, I want you to bless and be with my children. He said, I want them to be happy, so I want them to be blessed. Amen. He was praying. This is a prayer of a father. He was praying the blessings on his people, praise God. We should do no less as fathers today. A father's desire on this Father's Day should be a blessing upon our people, a blessing upon our family, a blessing upon our children, a blessing upon our nation. Because our nation depends on what our children's going to have in the days ahead. What we do with what we have right now makes all the difference for them in the future. And what we should be instilling in them now for the glory of God, amen, is what makes a difference in the future. Our future depends on our children. Our future depends on you and I. And our future depends on right now, today. Not tomorrow, next week, or next year. I know sometimes, so many times, we say, well, preacher, if I ever get caught up. Well, you might as well forget that. It'll never happen. If you're like me, you do 10 things and there's 10 more that you see why you're doing those. You'll never get caught up. Amen. But praise God, I'm going to say, glory to God, when we just put our trust and faith in the Lord, and we just say, you know what, I'm going to make Him, He is that priority. I'm just going to love Him and lift Him up. I'm going to love my children. Because see, when once they're grown and gone, it's too late. Amen. We better love them now. We better bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord now before it's too late. Praise God. Because God will help us if we'll let Him. If we have a father's desire, if we have a Godward desire, God will do His part. But we have to do ours. We have to come humbly before the Lord. And ask God just to help us to be that He'd have us to be.